Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we're going to begin. Ten Hut. I will. You know, this is part of my introduction. Are we on? We're good, Al? All right. Good morning.
Morning.
When you see the toothpick come out, what do? Turn on your minds, open up your hearts, open up the Word of God, let's rightly divide it. Why? So we can apply it, right? Today is 8/21/2022. We're at Faith Bible Church Adult Sunday School, in case you didn't drink your coffee this morning and you're not, you know, you're walking around like a zombie. I'm teaching through the book of Ephesians, and we're in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. This is going to be a couple-parter, and the name of the message this morning is Approved by God. So before anything, I'm going to open up in prayer, and then Mary's going to come and bless you with the song. Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift this time up to you. We thank you again for another day of grace. Thank you for saving us before you call your ambassadors from planet Earth to heaven. And so we thank you, Lord, that there's another day of grace that you can use us to call others by the gospel, that Christ died for their sins according to scriptures. He was buried and he rose, and they'll be saved by grace through faith, not in themselves, not at works, lest anyone should boast. And we pray your Holy Spirit will be the real teacher here today, as always. I pray when the pastor or Pastor Sadler, when he gives a message at church, I pray through us both that your Spirit would empower us and you would do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, and we'll give all the glory to your Son and to you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So here comes my sunshine.
Yeah. You can put it right there. Okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. It's good to be here. Good job. Thank you. This is Paul's one of Paul's favorite songs. It's called Thank You by the Katinas, if you've ever heard of them. So, now I'm not techie, so lots of time. We get commercials up. But that was on Thursday night at our Bible study. I'm always messing up. So, anyway, so be patient. Okay, hold on. See, I told you. Okay, we're done. Just a little while longer, I wanna pray. Can't get you off my mind, so I can just say thank you, Lord, just for loving me. Many times I do forget every need that you have met. Oh, thank you, Lord, I know you're showing me. You are there and I am down and out. You're holding me, your love is so amazing. Oh, it changed me.
Here I am, with all I have, raise my hand to worship you. I want to say thank you. Oh, thank you for everything, for who you are. Cover me, you touch my heart. I want to say thank you.
I could have died in my sin, but you saved me. I didn't have any hope at all. You gave me peace divine, strength to carry on.
Hey.
raise my hand to worship you. I wanna say thank you. Oh, thank you. I wanna say thank you. Praise the Lord. Ain't he worthy? Raise my hand to worship you. I wanna say thank you. Thank you for everything, for who you are. You mean much more. I wanna say thank you. I wanna say thank you, Lord. Did she leave the lip mic? All right, we're going to get right into the Word. This is actually the day of my ordination. And so, I'm a little emotional. I really feel honored that... I'll talk about it later. Anyway, the name of my message is Approved by God. You know, you think of Purina and Pedigreed dog food, right? They claim it's vet approved. Well, I'm a professional dog trainer, and I read an article on Purina. It's like feeding Twinkies to your kids every meal. So they claim to be vet approved, but it's garbage food for dogs. Some other things are claimed to be approved by science, but which scientist? Lawyers have been approved when they pass a board, yet can you trust most lawyers? A lot of jokes about that, right? There's only one we can truly trust, and that's God, and whom He approves. And what He approves. And where are you going to find that out in? The Word of God. Rightly divided, right? So, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Actually, go to Ephesians 3, 1-4. And then we'll go to Thessalonians. Because this is part of what my message is going to... This is part one or two, I'm not sure. I think this is going to be part one, and next week, or next time when I teach again, it'll be part two. So we see the Holy Spirit through Paul writes, for this cause Paul, so who's writing it? Paul, who's he writing to? The body of Christ, right? The prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you word. So who was it given to? Paul. For who? He's writing in the body of Christ, right? How that by revelation, he, who's he speaking of? Christ, made known unto me, Paul, the mystery That word in the Greek, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, mysterion, it has the idea of previous hidden truth now divinely revealed. So this mystery, this whole body of truth to the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace, it was unsearchable in time past, right? Paul tells us that. But ain't you glad it's been divinely revealed and we can know it now? We can study it. We can rejoice in it. If the grace of God doesn't stir your heart, I don't know what will. You know, there's going to be pastors and Bible teachers today motivating their people this morning by fear and legalism and saying, if you don't do this, if you do this, God will bless you, but if you don't, He'll curse you. And what is that? Law, right? Legalism, performance. And you'll get people like little robots that will obey them. But God ain't looking for that. You know what He's looking for? You to respond to His unconditional love, His unconditional grace. And I think of that song that always brings tears to my eyes. How undeserved we are of His salvation. Kevin and the pastor did wonderful messages yesterday. And how undeserved we were of God's grace or salvation, right? But it's so undeserved. But grace, He graced us. Instead of sending us to hell, what's He do? He gives us heaven, right? Instead of leaving us spiritually dead and maybe just destroying us, He gives us spiritual life. Instead of condemning us, He gives us righteousness. Now, if that don't motivate you to serve Him, I don't know what to tell you. That has motivated me. I'm 66, and I started ministry when I was in my early 20s. And what's kept me through all the years, I want to be like Paul that says, I finished my race with joy. You know, I want to serve God. And you know what I've learned? But I can't depend on myself. Because I'll let you down. I'll let God down. But as long as I stay focused on Christ, dependent on Christ, and whatever we're in dependence on will control us, right? Be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So that idea, I've said it before, is like a drunk that's dependent on alcohol for everything in his life, and it controls him. Or a drug addict. How does a little powder control a whole life of somebody? Because they're dependent on it to give them something, maybe boldness, a good feeling. And so Paul's sharing us with us there what it means to be filled with Spirit. It ain't running around the church and shaking and getting popped in the head and knocked down, you know. It's when you're filled with, Paul says that when you understand the height, the depth, and the width, and the length, and the whole context of Ephesians 3 here is the mystery. It began with the mystery. And then he says, when you understand that, see that whole body of truth, right? Height, depth, width, and length. Then you understand the unconditional love of God. And the fruit of Spirit is love, right? And love controls us. Love for God and love for others. Where we'll sacrifice our lives and invest our lives in others. Not selfishly. You know, hey, if you don't look out for yourself, ain't nobody else going to do it, right? Nah, that's a world of way of thinking. So he says in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. And what do you think he wrote about that? Time passed, but now things are coming, chapter 2, right? That's how you rightly divide the word. Time passed, but now is a dispensation of grace, and then things are coming after the rapture. That's when you'll see the book of Revelation come in effect. That's who James, Peter, and John are writing. He was writing to them, but what was the next thing on their agenda? The tribulation, right? So they're preparing them to go through the trib. Christ was preparing them, right? Matthew 24. But what happened? God interrupted his prophetic kingdom early program with what? A program called the mystery. A heavenly program. But after the rapture, that's going to end the dispensation of grace, right? It's going to go into that program. So James, Peter, John, and John writes the book of Revelation. That's going to help them, kingdom saints, to go through that tribulation period. Ain't you glad we're not appointed to God's wrath? Aren't you glad? Today, you get a little persecution, yeah, if you work someplace. Your family rib you about being a Christian, right? I remember my uncle one time, I come to the room and he says, if you're around us, maybe you need to do a little praying. And I forgot, I had a good comeback, I don't remember. I'm 66, you start forgetting stuff. Give me some old ginkgo biloba, like Kirkwood used to say, for the memory. So he says, whereby when you read, I'm sorry, in verse 3, how that by revelation he may know unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge into the mystery of Christ. So we see one approved person right here. The Apostle Paul was approved by God and Christ to be what? The apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle to the body of Christ. The apostle that God and Christ chose to dispense that body of truth he calls a mystery. Just like God dispensed to Moses at Mount Sinai Israel's instructions. Christ from heaven, and all of you know that. You know, a lot of times I find... How do you turn this thing off? Something's blowing. Oh, it might be the air. I'll put some on it. First, a guy is teaching with the music book. I forgot where I was going. I'll come back to it. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:21. So we see Paul approved by Christ, right? Can't do this. And then Paul writes, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. That word prove, that's why I like going to the Greek to see what actually our English word was translated into from the Greek. But it has the idea of test. Test all things. Hold fast that which is good. So, you know the book Things That Differ? Yeah. Kevin, you might have heard about that book, right? That's where he got Things That Differ. The name. I believe it was from this verse. The idea is test things that differ, hold fast to what's good. So there's things in God's word that differ, right? You have different instructions to different people and different dispensations in different ages, right? Now all the denominations, they claim to teach, they get their teachings from the word of God, right? And most of them do. But you know the problem? It can be in the Word of God, but not be dispensational. Mm-hmm. And the most dangerous thing to do is teach God's Word without rightly dividing it. Mm-hmm. Because the Word of God's powerful. So I can tell you, God said, this week, I'm going to lead you, after I'm ordained, we're going to go build an ark, because it's in God's Word, nobody's been doing it. Right?
Yeah.
You got to ask, who's speaking? Who are they speaking to, right? What dispensation? What age?
It's
Ebola. See, and we'll get Bill. He's real good at billing stuff. So let's go to Philippians 1, 9 and 11. See, we got to test all things and hold fast what's good if we want God's approval. And we'll look at that in a sec. Most of, overall, thank God not all, the teaching that blows to and fro the church is not approved. I thank God. Now, I always say that Can God use those who don't understand how to rightly divide the word? Yeah. A Pentecostal led me to the Lord. I think God's got a sense of humor. So I love Pentecostals and Charismatics. I used to be one. You can kind of tell sometime when I'm preaching. I got loud, right? And I know our church doesn't raise their hands, and you know, but see, I like that. I'm expressive. So, you know, it doesn't matter. Paul talks about raising your hands. You know, you can cross your hands, you can wiggle your fingers, tap your toes. It doesn't really matter. It's, you know, when you're praising God, everybody's different. You can do it. God gave you one set of fingerprints. He don't want you to be a Xerox copy of the pastor. You know? He wants you to be who you are. You're a child of God. You're a saint of God Most High. You're holy without blemish. You're accepted in the Beloved. So every believer is accepted, right, in Christ by God. But not every believer, what they teach, or pastor, or Bible teacher, is approved by God in what they're teaching. Because if you don't rightly divide the word, actually, I was going to go there in a little while, but I'm just going to... We know this by memory, right? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. You got to study. That's what we're doing. You know, I don't like people just to come and listen to what I got to say. I want you to think. I want you to be discerning. So study. That's personal study, and we should come and assemble and study together and learn together and pray together and praise together, right? It's very important to assemble if you can, if you have a grace church. I ain't going to some legalistic church that's going to try and put the shackles on me. You know, because if truth sets you free, what's the opposite? Error will put you in bondage. And I'm not going to go support financially some church that's trying to put me in bondage. But if there's any way, we drive up about an hour, and people ask me, how come, why do you go so far to church? And I said, well, I'll tell you the truth, I could go to the corner church, save a lot on gas, right? I said, but I go to my church because my pastor teaches verse by verse, through the word, through the books, and he rightly divides the word, so I get it in context, and the love is there. There's a lot of love in this church. And I love that. I love you for it. You know, that you're our church family. Like, coming each week is like a family reunion. You know, I love... Sometimes you don't know. You think you share with somebody, and, you know, I don't think anything, they got anything out of it, it affected them. But Oscar told me, I didn't know. You know, I probably thought, you know, I think Satan attacks pastors, preachers, and Bible teachers' minds. Like, oh, you bumbled through that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And maybe I felt like that week, but Oscar told me that he didn't come to church for a little while because he got to that thinking where I can study on my own at home. I can watch videos on TV. And I guess it was winter, he's breaking the ice, and he listened, he put his headphones on, he listened to some on YouTube. Right? And I was mentioning how important it is to assemble together. Because there's a lot of grace believers that don't think it's important. They actually teach against it. But I don't see that. Paul writes to churches and pastors where they assemble together. And I guess it convicted his heart. He started coming back. So you never know. Don't never think. God's word is powerful. It's living and active, right? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides soul and spirit. And so when you share, just pray and water it by prayer. And God's spirit works through his word, so you don't know. And I'm so glad Oscar's, you know, he's on fire for the Lord. He's taking classes from the Berean Bible Society. And, you know, me and the pastor have been trying to mentor him. And he encourages me. You know, so know when you're sharing truth, you're not shooting BBs, you're shooting a bazooka. Yeah. So Where are we at? Philippians 1. No. Yeah, Philippians 1, 9, 10, right? Is that what I said? You got to help me. Help me! Philippians 1, 9, 10. And I pray. Paul's praying for believers. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Don't that kind of sound like that other verse? Yeah. Things, test things that differ, hold fast, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So, as we're growing more and more knowledge, but I've seen this happen amongst those who, some who rightly divide the word. All they do is get knowledge and argue with people. You know? They ain't sharing that knowledge because they want other people to understand the height, the depth, the width, and the length of the mystery, so that they'll understand the height, the depth, the width, and the length of the love of God. So, learn to rightly divide the word. I like the pastor said that one time, Mom, that you don't just keep studying how to rightly divide the word. You learn how to rightly divide the word so you can study the word accurately and you can share it accurately. But some people just want to get, they get puffed up. What I call it, doctrine heads, right? Like at the V8 commercial. You know, their head's so big. And they come to church weekly and they're taking it in. They become this fat spiritual cat. But it don't get down into their hearts. It don't get into their feet and get out there, the mission field, when we leave. That's what God's designed His Word, that the Word of God that works in you. That idea works as spiritually energizes. God wants us to take what we're learning and then apply it to the details of our lives. And learn to walk in the Spirit. And so you see, in verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, right? So you see that he didn't just say more in knowledge. I remember this young guy used to come to my Bible study years ago. And he came with this other guy. He was more of a follower. And I remember him, he'd say all the time, "We need more doctrine, more doctrine, more doctrine." And I'm thinking, yeah, you want more because you ain't applying what you got already. So I want to hear some new. Yeah. But you see, and this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So that knowledge that we're learning about the depth and height and the width and the length of the mystery, and so we understand the unconditional love of God. We understand we're accepted in Christ. And then we understand what God approves. He doesn't approve of when we're not walking consistent with our identity. I mean, you're holy without blemish. You're perfect in God's eyes. As Kevin said yesterday, I was listening. I was paying attention. I wasn't sleeping like Bill sometimes does. But usually I think he's, I always tell him, you're not sleeping, Bill, are you? You're just praying for me. Got your eyes closed, right? But we're accepted and God's pleased with us in Christ. But then Paul talks about some things. Walk worthy of God. What pleases God? And you know what it is? Growing in knowledge. Yeah, we got to study to show yourself approved unto God. Well, how do you got God's approval? When you're studying or teaching or preaching or sharing. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. So, see, it's study and work, but also it's a workman getting out there, workwoman too. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That has God's approval. So if pastors and Bible teachers or believers that follow their traditions and their pastors and whatever, and they're just following traditions of men of what the pastors and their denominations and whatever, that's not approved by God. Yeah, they're righteous in Christ still. But God wants us to know some things. He saves us, right? And we're babies and we don't know much. That's how I got involved in Pentecostalism. I didn't know much. I thought the pastor knows. He's the pastor. Yeah. And He wants us then to start studying, letting the Word of God get in us, memorizing God's Word, meditating on it, and then not stopping there, and then start applying it. Nobody's going to do it perfect. I'll be the first to tell you, Bill will be next. I come up short every day. But see, God takes His time with us. He takes His time. He's not in a rush with you. You know why? He wants permanent change, transformation, and permanent growth in our lives. So He takes His time. I was thinking, you know, because the ordination, you know, makes you think, how many things God brought me through? How many times when I started getting off the beaten path, and God said, whoa. You know, how many times I fell on my face, and God picks me up. Says, keep going. And I've learned to do like Paul. I forget the past and I press on. We're all in a grace race. Every one of us. It's not just us older people, young people. Y'all got to pick up the torch. Because I know I don't look old, but I'm 66. I'm getting older. But if you don't pick it up, quit playing games. You know, young people out there, quit playing games. Get serious about the Word of God, about applying it, about sharing it, and take this message on. It's like, you know, how they do with that thing in the Olympics? You know, the one that got that last spurt, he's probably the younger one. He takes it and takes it in. I'm going to kill myself with all this wiring. I always feel like a kamikaze guy because we got three. Like I got a bomb up here or something. Okay. Go to... you know I never get in all my verses. Go to 1 Timothy 6, 3-5. And I'm just going to quote you for time. Where do we get our commands? I can't hear you. Paul, right? How do we know that? Because the Holy Spirit through Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:37 that He gives us the commands of Christ. Like God gave Moses the commands for Israel. He gives us our commands, our instructions, our promises, how to walk in the Spirit in the dispensation of grace, right? So let's go to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Three to five. Now here's some men, and Paul talks about, you know, even in Ephesians, what did he say when he was leaving there? He says, I've warned you day and night, right, that in your midst savage wolves will come up. False teachers. And Paul warns us about them. There's a lot of them out there. Some are they're just deceiving. They're lying in wait, Paul talks about. Others are deceived and they're going about deceiving. But Paul warns us about that, right? And he says, Satan has ministers. You know where they come? Behind the pulpit. Where does Satan work best? Behind the pulpit. In religion. And he uses the Word of God, but not rightly divided. He uses it, like Peter said, they twist it to their own destruction. There's a lot of scripture twisting out there today. Don't do it. I was going to say turn on what they call Christian TV. Yeah, but don't do it. And you'll see, if you know this word, if you know how to rightly divide it, because you're going to have discernment then. And your spiritual antennas, you might not... A lady yesterday asked me about a ministry on TV. And I thought it was the one I was thinking of, but I said, I don't want to say for sure because I might be thinking it's somewhere else. Well, no. Once she told me that person taught, there's some taught the serpent seed doctrine that Eve had sex with Satan, and then I believe out came Cain. They ain't nowhere in the scriptures, because I go, have you seen that in the scriptures? And she says, no. I said, see, that's the Holy Spirit giving you discernment. She caught that. Yeah. And so I said, no, he's not a good teacher. So Paul warns us about Satan's ministers, that just like Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, he comes across like it's from God, right? Ain't that what he wanted to be? I'll be as God. And he comes across with lies and deceptions. How are you going to know if it's... How are you not going to be calm? How do they... what do they do with... sometime in the bank and FBI agents, how do they know counterfeit? They show them the real thing. They feel it. They know the feel of it. Everything about it. So if you know this word of God rightly divided and you have it memorized... And you're feeling, when you hear the counterfeit, you're going to discern it right away and say that's counterfeit. But if you don't, you'll be sucked in. There's a lot of stuff saying subtle. I forget how many denominations there are. And they all say they get their teaching from the Word of God, right? But you know the problem? I don't know one denomination that accurately divides the Word of God. Some are better than others. They divide, but the Holy Spirit through Paul didn't say just divide God's Word, right? He said rightly divide it. He didn't say over divide it. He didn't say like the Acts 2 premature dispensationalists to under divide it. Got to rightly divide it accurately, right? And so Paul here says, 1 Timothy 6:3-5. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to hold wholesome words, that help, that idea, wholesome, healthy, I believe. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you going to find them at today? Who gives you the commands of Christ today? Paul. And to the doctrine which accords with godliness. So, what we learn from Paul's epistles, it teaches us. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, say no to it. Live Titus 2:11, 12, and then 14. And live upright and godlike. Dearly loved children, forgive as you've been forgiven. Right? Be imitators of God. Why? He's your Heavenly Father. And you got an identity in Christ. You know, Paul never tells us, fake it till you make it. Just try and act like you're holy, holy moly. He tells you who you are in Christ first. Think of the Corinthians. Did he say, he scolded them actually. But later, what did he first do? To the saints in Corinth, right? He reminded them who they were. He reminded them what God did. Then he said, why are you acting like that? Why are you acting like an unbeliever? You're not lost. See, God's word, I want to say, it just gives you common sense. It gives you wisdom, I should say. Because common sense ain't so common anymore. If you hear some of the stuff out there. But he says... talk about a false teacher or someone who rejects what actually Paul's teaching. He's proud, knowing nothing. This guy's puffed up, right, with knowledge. Paul said, you ain't busting a grape. They don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. But doting questions and strife of words, they just like to argue. Wherefore cometh what? Envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that godliness, that gain is godliness. Don't you hear that on TV today? If you got faith, you'll prosper. If you got enough faith, you'll always be healed. Just name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Yeah. From such, withdraw yourself. See, that's, ain't you, you're so blessed, not with me, but to have a church that teaches God's word accurately and honestly, and the pastor's been doing it for years and years and years, where you feel you can bring your family to, and your family can be built up in sound grace doctrine. I got to be closing out, though. Go to 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, and we'll close, since we're right here. Y'all know I never get in all my verses. Well, I did that time I taught just the one verse. So, what did I say? 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. This is God's desire, and it should be our desires. This has God's approval. Who will have all men be saved? So God approves when we're reaching out to the lost. And you got to have the right gospel, don't you? And nobody's getting saved. And Christ gave Paul the gospel that saves today. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And then what does he want them to do after they're saved? This should be the purpose, our church, one of the great purposes that we're here. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. Get them saved, build them up in truth. Sound grace, truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. When was that testified? See, that means in the past it wasn't. Who's a due time testifier then? Paul. Wherefore, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and veracity. Paul. So we have to, in order to be approved by God too, we got to follow Paul. Not Peter, not James, not John. And Paul said, though we knew Christ in the flesh, right? We thus know him no longer. We don't follow Christ in his early ministry, teaching on the law, but in his heavenly ministry. That's where we're united with him and seated with him. So with that, I'm going to close. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that for what it does. Sometime we need to be encouraged. We always need that. Sometime we need to be comforted. But then other times, we need to be exhorted, a gentle, sometimes correction, or encourage people to apply the Word of God, exhortation. And sometimes we need to be corrected because we have the wrong attitudes or certain things in our life. We're not walking consistent with your grace and who we are in Christ. So thank you for being patient with us, and may we be like that to one another, and may Christ receive all the glory for whatever was done today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.